Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Courtship Wrap-Up. My name is Geneva Guadalupe, and today I'm going to talk about a new reality television show that brings together Regency-style romance and The Bachelorette, Jane Austen, Bridgerton, a mixture of all of it together. And I have brought three dating and Regency era experts to come talk to me today about the first two episodes of The Courtship, which is a new reality dating show that was created by NBC Universal. And before we get more into this show and what it's about, I'm going to introduce these wonderful women. So first and foremost, we have from the Bachelor and Bachelorette Wrap-Up, Haley Strong. How are you?
I'm great. I do feel uniquely qualified to talk about this show as I just finished a 10-month marathon of watching The Bachelor, and I've read three Bridgerton books this week.
That is some sheer dedication. You will bring an amazing, amazing perspective, and I'm really excited to hear your takes and thoughts on all of this, and I am so sorry that you had to go through all of that, and so I'm glad you're getting a little bit of a break.
I am recovering, but obviously, you know, I can't stray too far from my roost here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we also have another expert in the reality TV dating world, with people who find love at, you know, at marriage first sight, and then also who talk behind some pods and then get engaged and then potentially get married right after that. And we have Angel Welch, how are you today?
I'm doing well. And, you know, with this show, I believe even, you know, the people that are on Love Blind know quite a bit more than these people will know our lovely lead and her them. So I feel uniquely qualified as well. I'm very excited to talk about it. You know, it was interesting, to say the least.
Yes, absolutely. I think there are some interesting elements about the show that we will be able to delve into and talk a bit more about. And then last but not least, my post-show recaps, Bridgerton co-host, Sarah Carradine. How are you doing today?
I'm uniquely qualified to talk about the show because I have very strong opinions. That's my qualification. Hello, everyone. I'm speaking to you today from the unceded lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and I acknowledge elders past, present, and emerging. And what's emerging about the courtship is the definition of regency and the definition of we're living in a regency time and following all its rules is as loose as the fit of some of the gentlemen's pants, which were clearly made for gentlemen other than they.
That is a very good point, Sarah. It is quite interesting to see how loosely, in some ways, Regency era is used within the confines of the show, The Courtship. And I think we'll definitely delve in more to that because, you know, even the lead, the heroine herself, mentioned at some point that yes, we are in this Regency era of a romance dating show, but she's also a modern woman. So she's going to do things in her way as well. But we also know, you know, as we've podcasted a bit about Bridgerton, that some of the things that have happened on this show already would cause a huge amount of drama. So it's definitely going to be interesting to talk about. But before we delve in and talk about everybody, I just want to kind of give a quick general synopsis for everyone who is not familiar with The Courtship, just so you kind of have a sense of what we will be talking about today. So this show was created by NBC, and originally it was going to be for Peacock and was also going to be related to Pride and Prejudice, and that's kind of how they were branding it. But basically, it stars Nicole Remy, who's a former Seattle Seahawks cheerleader and software engineer, and she's traveling back to England's Regency era and hopes to find her true soulmate. So giving up on modern dating, she finds herself in a grand 19th century castle set among the rolling hills of the English countryside, along with a group of 16 eligible suitors who must battle to win her heart. And the kind of the main points that happen here is that they kind of have, they swap those modern day sensibilities for grand courting gestures, including carriage rides, masquerade balls, fencing, and handwritten letters. And each week, her suitors will be eliminated during the farewell ball. But the also the interesting take about this show, which is quite different from, you know, I would say like, you know, The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and even different from Love is Blind, for example, is that the parents and the family, the court is actually there from the beginning. They're engaging with the men, getting to know them as well. So in addition to seeing her parents, we also see her sister and we see her best friend as well. So I guess to kind of start off here, I'm wondering what your guys' thoughts were on the ideas that the men had to prepare themselves to come into the show. So we kind of see at the beginning, they had to learn calligraphy. They had to learn how to waltz. So I'm kind of curious what you thought about their preparation for what we ended up seeing.
I want to start on the preparation of the show itself. They spent entirely too much money on the production of this for it to be moved to USA Network 2 weeks later.
I
feel like we can all agree on that point.
Yes.
Like the costuming alone, the rent of the castle, I mean, the hair and makeup. There's 75 violinists, I counted.
Wow.
But there's so there's so much unnecessary background that I don't know what the answer would have been, because they had to sink so much money into it. But I feel like they should know that this would not work as like a concept. It felt very Fox early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, for me, oh, I have so much to say. First of all, it's not a castle. I'm sorry, everybody, that is not a castle. It's a stately home. It's a huge house, absolutely huge, but it is not a castle. It's a stately home. Royalty has courts. Even the aristocracy didn't have courts. I love the idea, however, and I think the stars, the absolute standout stars of this are her parents.
Yes.
Who are wonderful and we'll talk about. She's very, very engaging. They say the gentleman had to learn calligraphy. We didn't see them learning calligraphy, and certainly how those letters were written was not calligraphy. It was bad handwriting. So if they were teaching them bad handwriting, fantastic. The dance they were doing was not a waltz. And again, we didn't see them. So they say they prepared, but the I like process. I love process. So give me, if you're giving me true crime, give me process. If you're giving me a police procedural, give me process. And if you're giving me these 16 men prepared for life in Regency England, please show me them preparing. Because
I want to see the dance lessons.
Right? I want to see the dance lessons. I want to see why none of them can, like not a one of them can dance. So for me, I love the concept. Make these people, these modern kids, live in Regency England. And then what happens in reality is very much like Nailed It. Nothing about what they do is Regency, not the costumes, not the hair, not the hairstyles, not the manners, not the dances, not the food, not the having dates without a chaperone, not the kisses, not the putting hands on waists, absolutely nothing about it is Regency. So it's basically, it's a dating show with some frocks. So I think it was a huge missed opportunity, and I can certainly tell you later my version of this show, which I believe would be very good.
So you're saying, like, if you're going to have this as the idea of the show, commit. Like, if you're going to commit. Don't let it look like a themed date. I think the problem I had with, like, just coming into it, the format is, I mean, we're coming from shows that are 2 hours. Like, Married at First Sight, 2 hours. Bachelor, Bachelorette, 2 hours. We get, sometimes it's too much, but sometimes we really do need that much time to get to know the people. I feel like even after two episodes, I couldn't even paint a picture of Miss Remy's personality. Like I feel like I don't know anyone. It's maybe her dad. I don't know.
Did you know her mom's a doctor?
right.
That's the one thing I know.
One tidbit I got about her. So it's just like, I feel like we really didn't get to know them. So then, yeah, we had to focus on the theme. And then if you do know the Regency era that well, it's like they missed the mark in so many ways. So then I was trying to find, you know, what someone who is thoroughly enjoying this, what they're focused on. That's why I was really excited to talk about it, to see, you know, what those nuggets were. Knowing the personalities.
I don't expect it to be period accurate. I don't even care that the clothes and the hair and the hats aren't period accurate. I imagined I would be seeing what would it be like to, if you're a woman, take small steps. I mean, I'm a theatre director, and when I get modern young misses and they're in period dramas, I say, okay, number one thing is you have to take small steps. Mm-hmm. You can't stride, you can't swing your arms. And even what's that like? What's it like for the men to have to really watch their manners, not touch her anywhere, have a date? There's a charming one-on-one date, and how they get to it, the mechanic of getting to it is very nice. I love the mechanic of the parent sometimes choosing which men she'll have a date with. So what's it like to have an intimate date with a chaperone? Sitting there. I mean, what's that like? And we don't, and that's where I suppose I'm being harsh, because I think there was an idea there that had so much potential, and really nothing to do with spending money on the clothes, and everything to do with these restrictions of the period. Can we get to know each other? Can we talk? Do we not? If we can't touch and we can't kiss, what is it that's between us? And how exciting is it to dance? Because when you dance, you can actually touch the person. Anyway, so, but the other thing too, actually, you say is she's Miss Remy. Well, her Chiron is Ms. Remy. Mm-hmm. So the production's not even committing in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you all have brought up some really, I think, interesting and important points, because, you know, I was very excited for the show because I did like the idea of, you know, bringing something that I love and I enjoy, like the aspects, because, you know, as I am currently now podcasting about, you know, Bridgerton, and I was a, you know, huge, you know, Jane Austen, you know, Pride and Prejudice fan and things like that. So like, I was definitely looking forward to it. I also liked that they chose to have a Black woman lead. You know, there are some of these very aspects that I was very excited for, but I think that is the thing where it's a little confusing, because the show does not take a full commitment into what, you know, what it is kind of presenting itself as. So I think that presents a disconnect. And similarly, kind of how you all were saying, I think for me to have gotten to know some of these men, it took me watching it more than once to be familiar with some of their names and kind of who they are as people, or reading their bios. And I think that's also where, you know, some of these shows that are on for 2 hours or the hour and, you know, 24 minutes, as typically, you know, if you take out the commercials and stuff like that, that I think those shows have a lot of value, because they really do give us those backstories about the people, especially the people that are important to the narrative. So I think that kind of does cause this, you know, issue with how it translates onto TV. And, you know, I think also another aspect, which we'll talk a bit about later, I think it doesn't help that they put the show in a Sunday night slot. I think that also probably also did not contribute well to viewership. A lot of shows that air on the weekend don't generally even perform as well in comparison to shows that are on during the week. So that also probably did not help as well, especially if they were going to invest so much time, you know, and money into a show like this. So, you know, just to kind of delve into the show as well, you know, I guess I also did kind of like maybe the concept that, you know, she in the show kind of talked about how, you know, dating in the 2020s, which is also kind of a weird way to say, because I've never like phrased it like that, is hard. It's very challenging.
It's, you know, awful, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not currently doing it right now, but I have so many friends who are doing it. And I ask them literally, you know, every week, how is the dating scene here? How, you know, how are the apps? And it's awful, terrible, right? So I think it was quite interesting to see, you know, people come into whatever this idea of a show is and at least seem to embrace it as much as they could. you know, so I guess I wanted to know kind of what your thoughts were on, you know, the court, because, you know, we kind of start off where, you know, Miss Remy, or, you know, Nicole, you know, she kind of talks about how, you know, she's had her heart broken, the guy she fell in love with, he never loved her back. You know, and she's picked herself back up and modern dating isn't working for her. So she wants to find love in this way. And this is kind of her fairy tale. And, you know, we get introduced to her parents and her sister, and, you know, her best friend. So I guess my question was, is like, you know, kind of what were your thoughts on them and their involvement within the show?
When I first heard the concept that they were going to have a court and like someone's like, the parents are going to be there, I'm like, what an absolute nightmare. I actually love it. I think it's great to have a sounding board of these people. I almost wish that, like, I feel like we hear a lot from the parents. I want to hear more from her sister and her best friend about the opinions on stuff. I feel like we don't get a whole lot of opinions from them. I'd like more. I like these people. I think they're very interesting. I love the parents. I think they're cool. I like to, when I watch these shows, I like to put myself in the shoes of them. And I just cannot imagine my father ever participating in something like this. He only wears like Levi's line jeans that I bought on Amazon. Like, that's it. I can't imagine him in these like breeches or whatever they're called.
I was thinking that too. I was like, this is obviously out of their norm. So are they comfortable? Are they okay? Especially her mom. I was thinking, could I wear that? Like, what? Would I be okay and comfortable and just, you know, maybe I feel like that could interfere with just getting to know these men. Because it's like, oh, if I, you know, if I have on like some, I don't know, stockings or something, I'm just like, okay, I'm just waiting for to get out of them.
Like, imagine how hot these dresses are.
Right. Not, probably not the most comfortable either. So it's probably.
Do they have to wear a corset? Like, I'm not signing up for anything in which I have to wear a corset for many days none of them, in a row.
None of them are wearing corsets. But, you know, you can bone a dress and make it very comfortable.
There you go. Yeah, Sarah, what did you think about the family?
Look, I really liked this idea. And I think that particularly, look, I mean, Nicole's very charming. Look, she's gorgeous. I'll be shallow. She's absolutely gorgeous.
She's but we so don't pretty. Know. I just
it's okay to be shallow.
Oh, my God. She has such so a pleasant face. Her and her sister, I'm like, wow. Yeah. Show me these faces forever. Them.
And she's very light and humorous. And I mean, I don't really know anything about her. Her parents are absolute TV gold. And I here's another wrinkle that I would have done, that the gentleman come to the stately home, the manor house, and spend a week with the parents and the sister and the best friend before ever seeing Nicole.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
They have to have formal lunches. They have to have walks in the garden where their conversation will be, see how their conversation is. They have to explain themselves to her father, Claude, to her mother, Dr. Claire Spain Remy, that the sister and the best friend, you know, sniff for red flags so that they are a week, a day, 10 days, however long you would do it, so that rather than meeting her and trying to impress her first, that they meet this court, that's I will allow it, first. And so to me, throw away the dresses, throw away the pants, throw away the boots. Keep the manners of the time. Mm-hmm. Keep the, if you're really going to explore this style of courtship, keep the idea that you are being vetted on not your money, not your social status, but your self as a person and who are you really. So I liked this this inclusion of the family.
That's such a good point, because some of the men were really focused on her family during these dates, and then she's like, I didn't really get to talk to that person. And then her family is in the corner like, oh, we loved him. But she doesn't have that perspective because there's not enough time. And then they're like, we need more time. She's like, we're running out of time. So it's just like, what, where's the middle ground? We got to figure something out, because if you're only like, if they're only there for, I don't know how long, right? 3 weeks or something like that. Yeah, they could have benefited from this period of time of really getting to know the family if they really want to emphasize the importance of the court. It's impossible to do both when you have a limited amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, she says, my husband's in that room, the man I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. She doesn't say that, but presumably that's how people feel husbands are. but I don't have time to get to know anybody. It's right. Like, okay.
Well, that's what's confusing. And it's like, I agree with your idea, Sarah, because the thing is that it's like, you know, these guys kind of had to choose, do I prioritize impressing the family? Do I prioritize impressing Miss Remy? Like, what do I do? And then she, like, it, you know, then the criticism would come with either they're not spending enough time with her, or they haven't spent time getting to know her family or impressing her family. And then the guys who spent time impressing her family and thought that maybe they would have gotten one-on-one time or could have gotten more time with her didn't get time with her. So there, I think there definitely need to be more of that building momentum time where the guys could spend time with the family, getting to know them. And then the family could actually, you know, give, I think, instead of not just real-time feedback, but also just like general feedback on these men, that would be help her make an even more informed decision.
Yeah, like, why aren't we getting, I mean, maybe it happens, but why aren't we getting like a debrief before each of these farewell dances, before she makes the decision of the bottom six, bottom five or whatever? We should be getting a conversation where the court is informing her like, oh, I love this guy, because she's going into it. And it just seemed like they don't ever get a chance to talk.
Yeah, like the judging panel on RuPaul's Drag Race or Australia's Next Top Model. Not Australia's. Oh, the US, America's. Any top model of any kind, where the judges, in this case, the court and Nicole, sit down with the photographs. I mean, it's a fantastic way. What do we think about him? Oh, I had a red flag. Oh, I thought he was marvelous. He said this, which seems strange.
He's acting like this with us, but he's acting like this with you, and we can see
exactly. You know, and that our best friend, whose name escapes me, Tessa, says, oh, he was a bit flirty with me. I didn't like that. That's not the way to, you know.
That's one thing I was wondering, like, are any of these guys going to try and hit on Tessa?
It feels that way from the previews.
Well, I mean, they all can't get with Nicole, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're like,
weigh their options.
Do you think she's there so somebody will like hit on her?
We didn't hear from her at all. We did not hear from her at all. And we heard a little bit from her sister, Danielle.
Yeah, I think on occasion, I did like that we occasionally got to hear some remarks from them, you know, back and forth, whether it was like while the farewell dances were happening or, you know, while they were having the general conversation. But yeah, it would be really interesting to know a bit more, you know, about what, you know, with their experience with Nicole, like what they know Nicole is looking for, you know, and just kind of their thoughts on, you know, who actually may be right, who they're really skeptical about. Things like that, especially because, I mean, I guess, you know, we're getting a bit, I think, with the parents and, you know, now the guys are like, OK, well, I need to spend more time with the parents. But and I guess, you know, the dad's asking the very serious questions like, oh, how are you going to keep a lasting marriage or things like that, which is kind of funny, but also important. But I think that also it would be interesting to I hope that in the future episodes that they kind of, you know, show those relationships a bit more, or we get to know more about them and, you know, their connection to Nicole, or what they've seen in her past, you know, love life, and, you know, how their perspective will also really help in conjunction with what Nicole's final decision is.
Or yeah, these could be sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say these could be improvements for season two if they make it there.
I can't see them making it there. I don't want to make any snap decisions like Nicole was. My question for all of you is the way it's set up, she will write on the card six or five gentlemen who have to dance the farewell dance with her. And from that dance, she will decide which of them will stay and which of them will go. Do you think she's already decided? I mean, it's so set up.
What kind of conversations are you having when you're trying to remember some intricate choreography? I just wanted to talk to you about your family trauma. Like, I'd really like for you to open up to me about that. I'm very attracted to you and my parents really like you, but I don't know anything about you.
I just put you in the bottom five because I wanted to give you a fright, but I really like you.
Like, I think I just wanted to like pull you aside and tell you you're a hottie. Like,
right.
But that's where I think I kind of wish that for the whole farewell dances, especially if like I don't know. I think one thing that was very like weird to me was like, she would like choose a few people. She would dance with them. And then she said that they were safe. So then I was like, wait, there's only like one guy left who can be safe. So then I got like really nervous. I'm like, why is this happening so soon? Or like, you know, like all the guys that she chooses, I really feel like should actually be in the bottom. And like, cause I feel like some of the guys, it was kind of like weird that I was like, why are they here? Like, I get she wanted to spend more time with them, but I think it would have been a bit more
like, what quality time are we spending in that moment?
Yeah, exactly.
What answers are you getting that are like,
none?
Yes,
you just, it's just an excuse to touch them and hold them while she dances with them.
Well, she's gonna really make out with them anyway, and like, which is fine, have at her. But I mean, like, what I also like, it feels a little anticlimactic.
Yeah,
it's like, you're just right, like, waiting on the edge, and you see two guys like go up there, and you're like, well, I know that's, I am one, in the bottom three here.
Right. Yeah, because it's like, there's no way the first three guys she calls are going upstairs. Then there's nothing else for her to do, right? It's, so it's just like, it's weird because it's as if she's trying to convince us that those matter and those conversations do not, especially if someone is in the bottom again. Clearly, you don't feel a type of way about
it. Yeah, and I feel like their conversations are so like awkward, and maybe it's just because like I am not the type of person to have conversations like this. But when there was like moments where she'd be like, I don't even know, like I just like the conversation, and then like her tone of voice was a little like too not flat, but like commonplace to be like having these conversations. Like it's like, oh, okay, what's happening?
And she's been compelled to have the exit line, which I didn't bother to commit to memory, but, you know, be on your way, your carriage awaits, or whatever it is. And she had to say it to every single one. And it was,
and like, she didn't care about it. It seemed to be on your way.
I mean, we did get the excitement of, the doctor, spoiler alert, being sent off to the carriage and him storming, "You've made a big mistake." And then he has a confessional saying, I didn't get a chance to show who I was. And I thought, oh, buddy, but you did. But
you did. Yeah, you know how I know she didn't make a big mistake? Because he said that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, the fact that he literally brought out, you know, like the quartz, like right as she was like contemplating whether to eliminate. So it's like, okay, maybe there could have been another time you did that. Maybe I would have thought it was a bit more genuine. But again, you know, we'll definitely get more into that one because I think there's quite some to say about that particular situation.
I love delusional reality TV contestants. Long may they be cast, and long may they sit in their complete knowledge and power of who they are, how attractive they are, and long may we watch them and fondly see them go in the first couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I thought he was going to stay around for at least one more episode. Maybe I'm just jaded by The Bachelor. And there's like so many producer picks that we see like the dramatic person stay around. I feel like he could have caused some like, you know, some things in the house. I would have liked to see him get a date and they like, I don't know. And he comes back to the guys and is like, well, this was the best date. And like, she's going to pick me. Like, I would have liked to see something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just broken by The Bachelor.
I mean, I don't think so. Think it was just the gift, I think, kind of is where she couldn't justify keeping him there because it just seemed a little off.
He seemed already decided.
Yeah.
She had already decided.
Yeah, there's just no way her mind wasn't already made up every time she goes into these farewell dances. Yeah.
I mean, a person that you're thinking of dating that says to you, well, your mother and I will never run out of things to say. I mean, please.
Oh, because you're both doctors? Like, I am not spending every Sunday family barbecue listening to you talk about stomach linings or, like, whatever organs you guys talk about. I have no. I have a weak stomach, and I want to be eating good food. I do not want to be listening to medical talk. No, thank you.
I don't think Dr. Claire wanted to be giving medical talk either. And when he tells her that early on that he's a physician, and she says she is too, he doesn't ask her specialty.
Well, and he's like, a woman can be a doctor?
Oh, wow.
That's what it felt like. And
in this time?
I know. This is the Regency era. But it also felt like Dr. Claire was like, ooh, I have met this guy before in med school, and he sucks.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
But at least we know who he is, unlike a little blob blamange of about three or four suitors that I couldn't tell you that they were different men.
Oh, there's like four guys from LA that I'm not convinced are different people.
They might be the same person. That's
with like a wig or an elastic. Like that's just the scoop. Mm-hmm. Like you're telling me there's a difference between Mr. Safa and Mr. Cones? No, there's not.
Right. Oh, Mr. Cones smells. Well,
the hair is the difference.
I mean, Mr. Kessler, truly the only difference.
The only
Mr. Difference. Kessler is also a one of the Blancmange boys.
Yeah, let's talk about Mr. Kessler. Yeah, this is not his first foray onto reality television. No,
it is not. It is not his first,
He's a 31-year-old digital marketing manager from Vancouver. He's an outdoorsy adventurous with a curious nature. I mean, presumably they wrote this themselves. He seeks out books and podcasts that can teach him something new. Tell us about
him, Hayley. Listen to this one.
Did you know that he wrote the letter to express one of his, greatest desires, which is to find true love?
Or $100,000 on Canadian television.
Right. So, Hayley, where has he been?
He was on Big Brother Canada a couple years ago.
Season six. Yeah. He was in a showmance with Kayla.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, I didn't watch that season. Do I just know all the drama from Twitter? Yes. That is how I watch Big Brother now. Thank you very much.
And that's okay. But that's what is quite interesting. So he didn't find love with Kayla. So let's try to here to find love with Nicole.
So too bad his journey has ended. Spoiler for that second episode.
he did get a decent amount of screen time, which we'll touch on a bit soon. But I think the next main part of the episode before we meet all the men is that we do have Mr. Edwards, who is our host. He basically tells the court that they'll be selecting some dates for Miss Remy. And he has basically Robert, brings in 16 letters from the most eligible suitors, some of the most eligible suitors from around the globe.
Let's talk about Mr. Edwards, shall we? Edwards. He had a show called Tool Academy. And then he became a serious journalist, and he now has a podcast, as who doesn't, called Science-ish.
Yes.
I also knew I had seen this guy before, and I watch a lot of British panel shows in my spare time. And he was on a couple series of Richard Osman's House of Games, which is one of my absolute favorites.
Mm-hmm. I love that show. I love that show. We should podcast about that. Oh, no, we're podcasting about this. Sorry.
Watch that show. You know what? If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, I'm not sure whether or not to check out The Courtship, I would say watch Richard Osman's House of Games instead. Completely different.
One of the best shows ever made. Look, Rick Edwards is very personable. He has that dry English, slightly cocked eyebrow. He's tall. He's good looking. I like that he hasn't got period appropriate facial hair. See, they should have made the suitors shave. I mean, let's have period appropriate facial hair.
Or even like season one Anthony sideburns.
See, that's my problem too with the whole theme is that, let's say they shave, right? Or they're just trying to fit the theme. When they leave here, they're going back to the modern world and they could be a completely different guy.
You're right.
So I guess that's not the focus here, is to create a lasting story.
Well,
excuse
me? What else could we be here?
So, I mean, I like Rick Edwards. I like his beautiful olive drab tweed. I think it's appropriate that he is sort of timeless 20th century English gentleman. I think that fits. So I like
May
him
I say also a hottie board. With a body?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You can say that.
I would probably not date any of these guys and probably go for him.
Yeah.
That's what she should
approved.
Do.
Approved.
I would say there's like no guy here who I'm like, oh, yeah.
One the ratings know. Would skyrocket if she did that.
That would be a twist.
Also, maybe. They say global guys, but there's like three guys from not the United States.
You know, I guess they didn't know how. I guess they could. The only other thing I could think of is like nations where people speak English. I don't know how else they. I mean, I guess they could have just said U.S., Canada, the U.K. I don't know.
Well, and like one guy from South Korea.
And then again,
yes, but he lives in the U.S.
Yeah, so right. So I don't know.
I was sort of excited by Captain Kim from South Korea. I thought, oh, this is interesting because he brings a whole cultural awareness and upbringing that, no, he's American. So,
okay. I was also annoyed that he was like, I decided to become a dating coach because I got broken up with when I was 18 years old. It's like, wow.
Is that the one that he was broken up with? By his high school love, who he had been with since fifth grade, when she left him to go be with her ex from what, third grade?
What a great call out. Also, she broke up with him with a Facebook relationship status update.
Yikes.
Which does feel like an 18-year-old move to me.
Right.
He's 31 and he's ready to share his life with someone willing to grow with him.
So he's been holding on to this for 13 years. Is that what you've been, what you're telling me right now?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, he was in the Air Force in South Korea and has since moved to the US. So I shouldn't have said he was American. He is Korean. But yes, he's a confidence coach for men. I think he's very attractive.
Do men need more confidence?
Apparently so.
I can say that because no men are going to listen to this.
But you all know what Captain Kim did that caused a little drama. Because
so much drama.
Because, you know, first of all, Nicole is like, okay, here, mom, you can read this letter. And so he talks about how, you know, dear future best friend, you know, there's a foundation of our relationship that should be built on. Whether we start as friends and become lovers, to my best friend with sexual tension.
I think Dr. Claire has read those kind of letters before. It's just not in front of her daughter. So I think the show wanted us to feel that Nicole was the one that was embarrassed to have her mother read it, and her mother was embarrassed. I think her mother's a goer. She looks like a goer to me. Sorry.
And it's not like he wrote in the letter like, dearest Miss Remy, I would love to honk your tatties. Like, please let me later. Like, it's not like that. It's like, oh, he like name dropped sexual tension.
But it's sexual. It's not just sexual tension. It's sexual tension for a woman he's never even met.
No, he's saying he hopes that they're attracted to each other. And why wouldn't he? So this is a very, very good looking man. Who becomes less and less good looking the more you see him, because there's nothing like where is he? Who is he and where is he? Especially with such a risque calligraphy letter.
Oh yes. Very, 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 very risque. Were there any other notable letters or intros that you guys got from there or not?
I think Mr. Cohen, I feel like an idiot saying this, just like saying the names. Mr. Cones, I feel like his letter was interesting. She said like, come smell me later or something like that. She was like actually kind of into it.
I just want to know how the smell carried through the stack of letters. Didn't like, you know, transfer to the other paper.
An intern went in and sprayed his letter specifically.
He's like, production, please spray my letter. And then right before you give it to her, so it's fresh.
He seems like the one who is like committed, but has no idea what he's doing there.
He's a child. Look, he's 25 years old, and he went on his first date in his early 20s. Nothing wrong with that.
I was going to say, are you calling me out for being a double dater?
Are you calling me out?
No. Next time.
No. I'm just saying that Mr. Cones at 25 is a child, not that 25-year-olds are children.
I mean, I know some 25-year-olds who feel like children. So,
and Nicole is 26. In case anyone was wondering,
So it's not the number of years that he has been on the planet. It is his romantic and emotional years. Yes, mm-hmm. It's sweet boy. It was a fun idea.
Yes, absolutely. He's going to offer that laughter, those late night conversations, reflection.
Growth. I don't want to have a late night conversation. I want to be in bed by 9. I want my letters to be like, "Dear Haley, we will watch TV and then we will go to bed promptly at 9 o'clock. And lovely. I will lightly touch your back while you fall asleep." XOXO, your future suitor.
Yes, Mr. Strong.
Not my father.
No.
Uh-oh. So yes, so then this kind of leads to the essential introduction to the men. The men arrive at what Sarah doesn't like to call it the castle, but they like to call the castle. And you know, they're having this welcome ball that's being thrown in honor of the heroine. So we see the men, and you know, Mr. Edwards is like, "Okay, well, as Regency rules state, I'm going to be greeting the gentlemen by their surnames, and I can't imagine what will possibly go wrong." And literally, the first man he greets, he pronounces his surname wrong, so he starts to just ask people what their names are, because he cannot. He's just like, "I'm not bothering with that again." So we saw a lot of interesting exchanges. So, you know, we saw, you know, Mr. Echevarria, you know, and Mr. Edwards asks if he's, you know, a romantic guy, and he talks about how he's a hopeless romantic. You know, we see Mr. Shanklin and Mr. Cones, and Mr. Shanklin, you know, he says the way he's going to stand out is by singing. Any thoughts?
Oh, what a nightmare. I hated every second that he's singing. I just can't handle Ernest singing on reality television shows. He did not speak any words. He only sang words.
That's right. Haley. Oh, he only sang. Look, that was bad enough, but then he committed a terrible sin. And I thought, this makes you a bad person. So he was he's in a boat rowing with Nicole, and three other suitors are in a different boat. They don't have any of the court with them. They don't have Nicole. So they decide that they will row really fast and they will serenade her, which they do with a really roustering, very short rendition of "Row, Row, Row Your Boat." It was really sweet. It was really goofy. And this little fucker starts beautifully singing it. It's like, no, it's not yours.
That's this not is the point of this.
Yes, this I can't even sing beautifully, though. I don't know if he would make it to the next round in American Idol. I just feel like if you're going to sing, you need to be confidently good, like really good. And then obviously not overdo it, but don't be like average and then singing 24/7
and stepping on other people's bits.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like those men were doing it because they weren't in a boat with any of the court or Nicole. So they were trying to get her attention. So the fact that he was just inserting himself and was like, you know, "Life is but a dream," you know, whatever. And then even Nicole was kind of like, "Why is he singing 'Row, Row Your Boat' in like a sexy way?" Like,
that's the thing. It's a child song. Why are you singing it sexy? I think I would have been like,
"When up the water spout, down came the rain." No.
Because that was the endearing part of them, like Derek and all of them doing it, was they were bad, right? So yeah, they were doing really bad.
There was some harmony in there. I was a little impressed
with them. I thought they were doing the right thing to be like, "Hey, we are not in anyone's boat. Let's try and do something to get the attention." I thought that was great of them. Like, I thought that was the right move. I think singing "Row Your Boat" was the right move. I am like, I honestly, if somebody started singing Ernest, "Row, row, row my boat, your boat, in my boat," I would just be like, "Oh, like, no, we're done here. We can actually, like, do our last dance here."
As Jane Austen would have said, "Oh."
Jane Austen, probably.
Well, that's the thing. Where it's become weird to see the singing on the dating shows, like, seeing, like, Sal and seeing, like, Jed. Like, I'm just like, as a person who loves to sing, because, you know, I do musical theater and performing and things, like, it would be super cool if I met a guy that also sings, but for the context of the show, it just comes off weird and awkward, and I feel like you're trying to promote your singing, and that's kind of where it comes off really strange.
Imagine going on NBC's the courtship, being like, this is going to jumpstart my singing career. This now is my big break.
Yeah.
Some random town agent is going to be watching USA on a Sunday night and discover him.
Oh, yeah.
That's his totally. Path to stardom.
Yep. But, you know, Mr. Collins replied and said he's not going to go toe to toe with Mr. Shanklin because, you know, not going to compete okay. whatever that is.
Would you rather take the last name Cone or Shanklin? You have to pick one to take.
I would go Cones.
I'd go Cone. Definitely Cone.
I don't think I could say hello, my name is Haley Shanklin. I don't think I could say that.
I don't think that sounds that great either. So
I think a Cone is fun. Cone is a conversation starter. Yeah.
I always wanted to marry somebody who I could like hyphenate my last name and it be a
joke. Marry someone called Man with two N's.
I always wanted to marry somebody whose last name was Power, so I could
Strong Powers. Man
is that or, like, yeah, yeah Strong, Man, strong yeah. Powers or something like that. That's that was my dream.
That'd be
no perfect. I had to marry somebody who didn't have a adjective last name or a noun last name.
Yeah. as long as I don't understand why the other part of the marriage doesn't also hyphenate the name. I don't understand. But anyway.
I suggested that, but we just landed on keeping our own. We should switch last. No, I'm just kidding.
Switch them together and make a different word.
My last name is so good. Like, why am I going to give that up?
That's true.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I couldn't imagine Strong without Haley.
Exactly.
You're right.
That's just my name. Like, it's just
who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, enough about me and more about these awful, awful men.
If we must.
You know, so we see, you know, Mr. Mumbry, you know, Mr. Holland, Mr. Castronovo, Captain Kim, Mr. King, Mr. Hunter, Rodin on a horse. So apparently he's been preparing for this whole Regency experience by brushing up on his horseback riding. And then we find out that Mrs. Saffa's horse had defecated. And he makes a joke. Oh, yeah, sorry. Still working on that, handling the horse. And then Mr. Edwards, for some reason, asked them to dance. And a lot of them really can't dance. So that was just kind of super awkward. And then a lot of the guys were talking about how they'll be turned pro in calligraphy.
They didn't.
No, it doesn't seem so. Maybe we'll see more calligraphy moving forward. Maybe we'll see them become pros, but I don't know. I don't see it.
Writing with a nib with a feather attached, which is also incorrect because they didn't have the plume. They cut it short. Why wouldn't you? Because the whole thing about the feather is you use the hollow tube up the middle of a feather is what was used for the pen. So if you're going to have a pen, you don't have the feather. And if you did, that just drove me crazy. And it's not calligraphy. Just because you dip an ink pen in and write with your hand, that is not calligraphy. Stop me! Somebody tell me to shut up!
Oh, my gosh. And then one other thing that happened that was very interesting is, you know, Mr. King decides to tell Mr. Edwards that he knows at least one thing in terms of his preparation, and his preparation for the show was how to say water. But could he say water? Not really. So there was this very interesting back and forth. He's like, what? And then he's like, water. And then it's
water. Did you just call that very interesting?
Yeah, I wondered. What's in that tea that you're drinking there, Geneva?
I haven't been drinking any tea, so... I'm drinking water. So I'm actually drinking water. So Walter, and I'm like,
I've seen that on TikTok. Like people say, oh, it's a misconception that the T is not pronounced. You're like, no, we pronounce the T.
Just not the R.
Exactly. So that was, yeah. So, yeah, I think in this context, I meant interesting in a sarcastic way.
Mr. King's from the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
He's 35. He lives in California, as do almost all of them. So I feel there was a model agency or an acting agency that got raided for almost all of these 16 men.
Yeah, he's an online fitness coach. But in the second episode, we see him with a with the classic Bachelor, like, really sad story in which, like, you know, he was raised by a single mother and he just lost his mother like 3 months ago. And then a month later, his brother died, which is awful. And oh gosh, I am not one to judge how people deal with grief, but this would not be it for me. Mm-hmm. Going on an English reality dating show. You know what? Actually, I might go for the vacation. You know what? Scratch that. I am going for the vacation for this.
Yeah, it's a nice distraction.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, I think also one thing he kind of touches on that I think was really sad too was, you know, he's like, you know, it's been great to meet your family and I wish I could have introduced you to mine. And the only two people I really had were my mom and brother, and then they're not here. So I guess, you know, part of it for him going on the show was also maybe like, you know, I don't have anyone. So I just really want someone in my life as a, you know, as a companion. And it really meant a lot to him too, how, you know, Miss Remy had responded. You know, she got very emotional listening to him. And, you know, it is tough, you know, to have that sort of situation. But yeah, I think it can be an interesting way to deal with that grief and, you know, go on a show like this. But I think maybe it also kind of, in a way, is a distraction because it's a new way to find a love and a connection that he, you know, didn't necessarily have or doesn't have anymore. And then, you know, they're all asked to bow. You know, Mr. Mumbry also says that he's never been in love with a person, but with cake. Mr. Chapman is taking girls in his van to places, but non-creepy places. He, you know, that was weird.
Like, let's go back to the cake thing. Like, an American Pie way, or?
Yeah. Is he a trainer? So is he tasting small amounts? Is he, what's he doing? He's from England. He really is from England.
That is true.
What? Yeah. His name's Charlie.
Good old Charlie. Yes, so
he's a sweet-faced young man, very young, 25.
He likes skiing, cooking, and family. He loves to spoil his girlfriends with gifts and trips.
See, you know, if that's her love language, people
she said hers is physical touch.
Right, exactly. So she may not. She exactly. You know, you really have to know what your partner, how they like to receive love. And then communicate how you like to, because she's going to think, okay, he's doing all these things, but I like physical touch. If he's never holding her hand, she won't understand it.
You're right. And we find out how much that means to her, which we'll talk about quite soon. But yeah, you know, we see all the other men. I think we meet a variety of guys who become quite important in the narrative, and, you know, we'll definitely touch on them. But you know, Nicole, she kind of has this whole, you know, final, the guys come in, they, you know, they meet everybody, they meet the court, they're surrounded by all the dancing and everything, and we get to the point where she does, you know, have her entrance. So the court is introduced first by Mr. Edwards, Mr. and Mrs. Remy, her sister Danny Baker, and best friend Miss Cleary. And basically, everyone is excited and looking forward to the events that are to come.
And if I could just say, Mr. and Dr. Remy.
Yes, 100%.
Well, it's actually Mr. Remy and Dr. Spain Remy.
Yes.
Just to be, you know, very, very accurate there. Can I just stop down for a moment and say, because I'm going to say a lot of really bad things about the clothes. They don't fit. They're not period appropriate. That's fine. They really do not know how to dress this beautiful woman, except her first yellow gown with the plunging neckline almost to her navel. She looks absolutely stunning. It's a contemporary ish gown. She looks amazing. And that's when I thought, well, why are we bothering with all this other stuff? Just put her in clothes like that. She looks incredible.
Yes, absolutely. And so basically, you know, we see her entrance. Even, you know, people are amazed. They're like, oh, wow, this is so real. Mr. Jaffa, like, was like, thinks microphone drop, thinks she killed this entrance. You know, like, Mr. Chapman's heart's going crazy, eyes popping out. You know, Mr. Cones is freaking out. People want to get to know her immediately, spend time with her. The guys, you know, start to show that sort of attention. And I think one interesting thing here is that we start to actually see like some of the members of, the court and start to introduce Nicole to some of the men, which I think is a really cool way instead of just her necessarily like approaching them, just kind of having a new way to kind of connect people. And I think with those introductions, we also get a sense of maybe who, the family likes or who they, may not like, and different things like that. So I guess, what were your thoughts on this general scene as like she starts to meet the men?
I liked that they were impressed by her. I thought she looked beautiful. But, nothing really just, blew me away with just, I guess, their introductions to her in this, in this setting. It seemed kind of loud and busy. It was really hard to kind of talk to her. So I thought that was interesting. And was it just me or was there just not enough space to talk?
I don't know how she had conversations with anyone.
There were a lot of people in there. And I know a lot of the people were like background people and stuff, but I think maybe that also took away from, I guess I know they were trying to make it a ball and like have people in there, but I wonder like what would have maybe been a good alternative, maybe.
Just go straight to the court picking six men and sending them in to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they do. The court picks six men to have a date with her, unchaperoned. Make that the first time that she's met anybody, and they sit and they talk. And the other men who haven't been allowed to glimpse her, now you get a little bit of tension, a little bit of something. Mm-hmm. And from these six, she's going to choose one to have a one-on-one date with.
Yes, absolutely. And so we see some of those sorts of introductions and, the men are excited. And then Mr. Cohn even mentions, he's like, where can I get a corn dog around here to Nicole's sister? And BFF, which I was like, you're not going to find one here. I don't think. I think you're probably looking in the, wrong place. And then we start to hear, people trying to connect to Nicole, kind of say what their backgrounds are and things like that. And one guy who I think, really starts to have a presence is Mr. Bohicchio. And he, wanted to let her know that she's doing amazing and, looks forward to getting to know her in this experience and, also makes some, holds her hand, has that, physical contact that she really likes. We also see Nicole has a conversation with Mr. Cohns, referencing that letter that he wrote. So asking him questions and referencing rubbing the belly and the tums and, all the funny things that, stood out to her, but also, how endearing the letter was. We have this sorts of stuff. And then they say that in 19th century Britain, sweets, desserts, flummery, et cetera, were hugely popular. In fact, the average Regency gentleman was 70% water and 30% meringue. So we had six men, like Sarah mentioned, who, were brought to spend more time with her based off of the court selection. So my question to you all is, what did you think of the six men that were selected? Did you think that it was random? Do you think that these were people that the parents and family liked? Do you think these were people that they disliked and were skeptical about? I just thought it was a very interesting mix of people.
Yes. I think, I don't know. I think maybe they're people that the producers like, pick these people.
Yeah, producer picks.
Yeah, because there was absolutely no way for them to have any substantial conversations with all 16 to make accurate picks.
Exactly. Yeah. So, we saw Mr. Kessler, Dr. Schenzer, Mr. Safa, Mr. Lux, Captain Kim, and Mr. Ward. And of course, we hear the parents tell some of the other men trying to comfort them, saying that, if we didn't pick you, it doesn't mean that we're not impressed by you. And, Nicole's going to make her own decisions at the end of the day. So, and, it's going to take time. It's going to be a process. And of course, we hear that some of the men are jealous that they don't get to spend more time with her. And then, Miss Remy asks if anyone's ridden a horse before, is this a talent? And, Mr. Jaffa talks about he's ridden equestrian, a bit of Western, a bit of bareback when the time is right. And she's like, what are you talking about? What's bareback? And then, of course, you know, the guys are laughing and he's like, there's no saddle. You just jump on the horse. Horses are great.
She knows what bareback is. She was daring him to say it. And he didn't have the courage of his convictions. If you're going to do that and be provocative and say bareback, have the courage of your convictions, you long-haired, selfish, overconfident, ridiculous fool. I didn't like him very much.
I feel like I feel like he's, you know, there for the comedic effect, I guess. I don't know. I don't think that she would choose him, honestly. So I'm not, you know, I think he's just kind of there. Definitely. I don't know. The producer's like, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe there might be some interest in this long haired man. I'm not really sure, but I don't really see him as a serious contender for Miss Remy's heart.
Yeah. Like I really don't know who she's going to pick because I don't think any of these guys are like really that great.
Yeah.
It's like, what, I mean, was it just the casting call is just, okay, who,
who's good free?
Yeah, exactly. Who is it, the Bachelorette rejects, or is it just, oh, hey, we need you for a dating show of sorts. We have a new concept. Do you want to try it out? We've always seen that. We've seen the casting calls where like, this is a new dating show. We're doing things a little bit differently if you're looking for love. And they're like, yeah, sure, why not? So,
yeah, they all say, they all have all the catchphrases that they know they need to say. There for the right reasons, here for the right reasons. Please be vulnerable. I must be vulnerable. Let me show you my vulnerability. He was vulnerable. She was vulnerable. I mean, it's as if they've all gone to the school of Bachelor and they know all their lines. And I think this is one of the reasons. Look, I'm sure they're all perfectly nice fellows in their way. But one of the reasons that we feel we don't know them is the conversations were completely banal. It was all catchphrases and things they've heard other people say. And so it was very hard to kind of grasp who any of them were. And even Nicole, who I find really interesting, she herself was talking in these very rote and banal ways about love, finding love, my husband's in this room and all of that. And I just think that had they stuck with the concept, it could have been really interesting. So these kind of young, brash boys who think, oh, yes, well, we'll sign up for this show, being confronted with what is it like if I have to converse with her friend? What is it like if I, I'm not able to touch her? What is it like if I have to sit at a dining table, eat with a knife and fork and converse at the same time? Like that would have, there would have been an interest there and we could have seen them try, fail or not fail, or there would have been an access into them as people. But as it is, they're just saying what's expected of them, hoping to skate by, hoping to get a certain number of episodes. And their fitness instructors, their online people, their models, they have clothing lines. They all have a side hustle. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why they're there.
Yeah, that's why I felt like we didn't get to know her at all. She was sticking to like the things she needed to say. Yeah, the man I'm going to spend the rest of my life with is in this room. We all know that that's not true.
You can do way better than this, my friend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One could only hope, but I guess we'll see. We don't, who knows? I'm not even sure. I don't know. But and then the other main, I guess, conversation here is that, you know, Miss Remy calls out Captain Kim for the sexual tension mentioned in the letter. Just kind of being like, who's that man trying to get with my daughter already? Like, you know, her mom thinking it's an uncomfortable thing, whether she really did or not. Just a weird, you know, first impression. And then we find out that the top three things she's looking for in a guy is that he's kind, confident, and someone who's fun to be around. I guess.
Said no one ever before in the history of the world. I mean,
I would love to meet somebody who like doesn't want their partner to be funny, like just has no humor. And like, actually, like I can't stand jokes. So like, I really never want to laugh.
I don't know those people. Like, I'm sure they exist. It's not in my world.
Yeah. I want someone who's unkind. I want them to be very firm with me and correct me at every stage. I don't want to ever laugh. And
that's probably the perfect guy, Sarah.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. That sounds terrible. The other main thing in this episode before You know, we have the farewell dance situation. You know, Mr. Edwards gives, you know, Miss Remy the opportunity to pick one suitor to accompany her on her final date of the evening. And she's like, right now, you know, she doesn't know what to do. She's attracted to a lot of the guys, but there really isn't, you know, a lot of time. And but yeah, she, you know, basically decided to choose the guy who gave her, you know, that physical touch, that connection. You know, Mr. Daniel Bochiccio is 31, real estate agent from Staten Island. And, you know, he was very, very, very nervous. He was, he didn't know how to handle himself on the date. He,
nothing on this date warranted it ending in a kiss. Like, I'm sorry. He did not win her over. He did not share anything to where she could walk away like, wow, I really know him better. It was just like, it was such a boring date. Yeah, it was the fire. It could have been anybody sitting next to her and it probably would have ended in a kiss.
But it was very interesting how he was like, oh yeah, like I don't normally kiss on a first date.
So don't. So explore that. So what is it like if you don't? What is it like if you have an actual conversation? Oh my God, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So yeah, I liked the fireworks. Those were pretty.
They were really pretty.
But I was also like, oh wow, they have this budget going on. But I was also kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I found it a bit endearing at the time that he was nervous and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It was interesting, but I think that definitely put him as, I'd say, a potential front runner in terms of, you know, I guess the connections that we've seen so far. Obviously, it's only been two episodes, so I guess
yeah,
to say what will happen moving forward. But you know,
if he's a front runner, the bar is low, but I can see it's just like at this point, it's almost like a I can't even say like a Love is Blind situation. She can only go based on what she's given, right? And since they don't have the time for substantial conversations, she could go by based on who she's most attracted to physically and then who she just vibes with. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, there's literally nothing else she can go based off of. And even though the conversation was boring, in my opinion, maybe she was into it.
I mean,
maybe she loves a boring man.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she can be the entertaining one and then, you know, it'll balance them out. I don't really know.
That can get exhausting over time, trust me.
Yeah. But she did choose him because she felt like they had really great eye contact. He, you know, grabbed her hand at some point and even like him holding her hand in that moment. She really loves physical touch. So we find that that's kind of, you know, her love language. And I guess for some reason, this experience is also because he talks about his real estate. It has a very old, like, Victorian era listing, and he'd love to do a video wearing this getup. And I guess he says he's not scared to be goofy and making people laugh, and was very, very nervous throughout the date. But yeah, so that basically happened. Basically the last major thing that happens in this episode, and we, you know, similar will happen in the next episode, is that the narrator says, you know, in the 19th century, a lady will fill out a dance card with the names of the gentlemen.
Incorrect. I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
I'm just saying what the narrator.
No, I'm not saying you're incorrect. Geneva is correct. The narrator, the person who wrote the narration, the lady would wear the dance card around her wrist. The gentleman would fill it in. Just saying, if you're going to do Regency, do Regency.
Can you imagine she went around with the dance card and was like, I want you to fill this out. And they're like,
can you fill
this out? No, I'm not going
to. No, you can't fill this out. I want you to fill this out, or like have them fill it out, but they don't know what they're filling out, and then surprise,
I was actually thrilled because I thought six of them were going. I thought, oh my god,
brilliant. Oh, I did too. I was like, oh, we're getting to it. This is like a 4-episode season. Yes,
woo, that would have been something. But yeah, basically,
I think it would have been great.
Yeah, but basically, it's a six spaces for six suitors, but in the farewell dance, only three will survive. For the others, a carriage waits and their journey will be over. And of course, she mentions a lot of the time she had not had a lot of enough time, and she's not, you know, she's attracted to some guys, not sure if they can all be open with her, you know, and there's some great guys and she doesn't feel like she has chemistry with some of them. And, you know, it's just like a whole thing. So, yeah.
And the only thing that was interesting there was she said to Mr. Lux, I want you to be more flirty with me. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, yeah, I can.
So believable.
So, yeah.
She told you what she wants to. She told you exactly what she wants you to do. No surprises. He gets cut the next time. Sorry, Jen, I should go ahead.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that Mr. Echevarria cried.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you were into it. I think he seemed like such a romantic, like he just wanted this to be it. Doesn't matter who it was.
I mean, yeah.
But also he came on a little strong with all that.
Yeah, he's like, I will show you, you know, I will go out of my way to, you know, show you that I'm here for the right reasons and all this sort of stuff. But then it just wasn't right. So she said farewell. I mean, I felt bad, but I mean, you know, he wasn't the right one. And so, but I'm just like, wait, you just met her a couple hours ago. What's going on? Like, I would get it if they were like further along the journey, but you know,
absolutely. Yeah, no.
So that was the thing. Captain Kim, you know,
I thought he was actually with Mr. Echevarria. I did think he was one of the most attractive though.
I agree. I'm actually shocked she just didn't at least like keep him for a round or two, see what happens, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
He is one of four men with exactly the same haircut. So I think they put some money into the men's hairstyle.
The same barber in LA was like, oh, you're doing the, well, it was previously called Pride and Prejudice, a romantic experience or something like that.
Yeah, something of that.
And so they're like, oh, you're doing that show too? I got you.
I got you. Yeah. And then, you know, Captain Kim, you know, she said she was attracted to him, wants to know if he's in it for love. You know, the sexual tension thing was funny, but, you know, she's not fully convinced by him because, you know, they hadn't met before. So it was just kind of weird. But he wants the romance and the passion. And, you know, that sort of thing. And he basically is captain. She, you know, he's like, you know, she made the right choice to keep me here. I'll make sure that she knows it's the best decision that she has ever made in her life.
And that seems strong.
Very, very strong. But he's looking, well, it was kind of weird because at some point he had kind of said like, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, looking for love kind of like in a general sense. And I'm like, well, there's a physical person here. It's Nicole. So either looking for love in Nicole or nobody else. So I don't, you know, it was a little weird. So I'm like, are you just gonna, you're just gonna automatically just, I don't know, go through this process and it doesn't matter. I don't know. So that was just kind of a little, you know, strange for me. And then, you know, Mr. Ward,
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Honestly, I saw it less than 12 hours ago. I am looking at all their faces. I couldn't tell you who that person was.
Well, you know, she said farewell, you know, and he said he was impressed with her, but, you know, it was a struggle to court in the Regency era. So he's glad he's out.
Yeah, he had nice eyes, but I didn't like what he was doing with his hair. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he should have went to that other bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him now. Yes, I remember him. He's a sweetheart, but
He's just like, oh, serious, so.
Yeah,
if I get the opportunity, I'll prove it to you that I am taking you seriously. It's like, okay, well, I don't think that was like enough reassurance. Like, even though we've talked about this, she probably made the decision beforehand. I think that doesn't really help, you know, or it just helps, you know, confirm why she would send him home over the other men.
If while we're looking at the pictures, did anyone think that Mr. Castronovo looked just like Ed from season one of The Circle? I literally thought that was the same man. I was like, oh, it's here.
Oh my God. The reality TV trifecta.
Yes.
The circle,
the challenge,
the courtship.
The courtship.
They all start with C's too.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe that is him in disguise because you can't tell me that that's not him.
I mean, you know, maybe they're related somehow. It could be. Maybe
she already has two sons that are on his mom has two sons that's on reality TV.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, the main thing that we do see is this old fashioned Regency dance off, you know, between Mrs. Saff and Dr. Shanzer. And, you know, we kind of see the doctor be interesting. And we touched a bit on this. And he basically has this last ditch effort of bringing out a rose quartz, which is a love stone that can open up her heart chakra, which can help.
What I loved about this was when she refused it, she said, "I don't think I'm going to keep the chakra." Yeah.
Like, I'm good.
And I'm like, so you're implying.
It was brilliant.
I'm like, so you're implying that she is a bad decision maker? Because you're saying it's going to help her with her decision making?
It was so ugly. It was on a silver setting. Oh, God, it was ugly. She has good taste.
Yeah.
In men and jewelry.
Oh, yes. But it doesn't feel real. So she said, peace out. And of course, he's like, I think you're making a big mistake. And they're like, did he just say what I think he said? I don't know. And so he claims that, he wasn't able to show her who he was as a person, and he came off as a doctor who was joking around. Your thoughts, y'all, on that?
Too late. Too little, too late, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he showed her who he was.
Yeah, that guy sucks. Like, congrats to her for realizing he sucks within 12 hours.
Yeah, get rid of Fatham in the next episode. That would be my advice.
they had to extend the show as long as possible. They sent they sent three people home in this one. So,
I wanted a bloodbath. I wanted an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah, I was hoping three in episode two as well, but mm-hmm. they did too. Yeah.
She likes all the men too much. She doesn't have enough time, so she needs more time. But yeah, we have Mrs. Safa stays, and we have 13 suitors who remain at this point. And then, we touched a bit on episode two, so we'll, just talk about, the things that we didn't really get to talk about more. So the guys move into some, suitors' quarters, slightly smaller accommodations, Mr. Cones, Mrs. Arby's, and Mrs. The Roast Beef.
I don't blame them. That line, I was like, yes, I feel this. I get it. I also miss Arby's when I'm away from it for too long. Would I pick Arby's over Instagram? I don't know, but it would be close.
See, I need to try Arby's in Canada because I hated Arby's so much growing up that literally we got it for dinner as a kid. And it was one of those things where you're going to eat what we give you. And I was like, I refuse to eat that. And I literally was just like nibbling at the roast beef because I just did not like it at all.
Oh, I love.
Yeah, I've only eaten other things from Arby's. I don't know. For some reason, the whole we have the meats. I don't know.
I don't even get the beef and cheddar. I just get the beef on a bun and call it a day. Like, I love it. Okay. Good matzo sticks, though.
They have curly fries, right?
Really good.
They have curly fries. That's not the draw for me personally. I know that's a hot take when it comes to Arby's lovers, but. I'm just there for the sandwiches and the mozza sticks. I'm anywhere for mozza sticks.
Yeah, I love mozza sticks. Oh, my God. So, a lot of the men, are talking about Nicole, their experiences and, stuff. And, Mr. Lux is like, it's tough to be on the dance card, but wants to, show her that he wants to know more about her.
He wants to show her how incredibly boring he is.
Exactly. He's so boring. She says to him, I can tell that you're dumb. I mean, she says, sorry, I can tell that you're deep. deep is the word that she uses.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And so what ends up happening is we get the Daily Tea, which is filled with news of crimes, jewels, and seductions, or the societal papers, say a bunch of fun things that, are happening. And, it's cast off across love's choppy waters with a day at the lake, parasols, picnic blankets, a steely determination to show off your rowing capabilities, catch our heron's eye, and best your rivals by rolling up your sleeves and demonstrating your physical prowess. Remember, the Regency way to a woman's heart is through her family. Nothing to dampen our heroine's ardor than a pair of soggy parents. Yes. So, and rocking the boat is ill-advised. But for now, jump in, boys. The water here in England is occasionally warm. Nicole's mom is like, yeah, whoever puts me in the lake is out. We're not.
Rightfully so. Yeah.
Exactly. So completely fair. And so, yeah, we we see, you know, the men arrive and, you know, they kind of talk about, you know, Mr. Edwards kind of talks about what they're going to do for the day. We kind of see, you know, Nicole's interactions with some of the men, like Mr. Hunter, and then we also see, Mr. Shanklin ends up in a boat with her, but also jumps in the boat, almost capsized the boat. A lot of the men go into boats with the court.
What confused me. Like, why was there even an opportunity to not be in the boat with somebody like either her or the court? Like, why was that even an option? And it wasn't until like Mr. Kessler was halfway across the water. He's like, I realized I was not in the boat with any of the court. What were you just hanging out, having a good time? Like, what are you talking about? That's the whole point of this.
I was like, maybe they should have waited maybe like an episode or two to do this, because then to give an that there would be enough, you know, men to do that. But I don't know if it's just kind of like, you know, with some reality shows, it's like, okay, well, some people get the time and some people don't. So they wanted to create some drama with the three people who don't. But, you know, it just, you know, of course, leaves an unfair advantage.
Well, you've got four in the court and Nicole, that's five. Put one of them singly in each boat.
Yeah.
Five into 13 means exactly. Two in some and three in the other. It was poorly organized. Yeah. And also they got to choose which boat they got in themselves. And they were rowing in boots. I promise I'm going to stop talking about the clothing that they're being forced to wear. Mm. They were rowing in riding boots. It was very odd.
Yeah. And Mr. Bukikio was aware and noticed that Nicole was alone. So he, you know, had grabbed her because everyone was very focused on the family, you know, which is the part of the aspect of the show, you know, focusing on the court, impressing them. But he also realized, well, I want to continue this connection with the woman that I went on my, you know, the first date with. And, you know, he said there were fireworks literally and figuratively on that date. So, you know, continuing the momentum, et cetera. And then, of course, a lot of the men, you know, start to talk to the parents. Captain Kim, Mr. Safa are talking about, the readiness for a relationship or not. And, we talked about Mr. Kessler. Derek felt very panicked that no one was on his boat. And then we had the whole serenade drama, especially with Mr. Shanklin singing and Nicole not liking that too much. And then the guys, those three guys, you know, who were left out, they decided to jump into the water, get soaked to show their affection for Miss Remy. Danny, the sister, you know, gets out of the boat. It's like, Nicole, what happened with these boys? And she's like, oh, well, they jumped in my honor. And then, you know, they're all on land, basically. And then, you know, the men and get to spend some one-on-one time with her and get to, you know, kind of have some sort of conversations. We see some people trying to interrupt certain conversations. We see, you know, some people
bachelorette, isn't it? Can I just interrupt? Again, make it more formal. Have them request that they approach her, have her chaperoned by a parent or a sister, have the men have to approach and request time with them through a gatekeeper. None of this, you've had your time, it's my turn now.
Right. That's modern dating show. So if that's what you're not trying to do, then they should be allowed to do that. Cause that's what got me when I couldn't remember who she was talking to, and someone like threw a thing and it hit like the vase next to them. I was like, that's just rude at that point. Like, what are you doing? So it all seemed kind of pointless.
Definitely a mess. You know, Mr. Lux tried to redeem himself from, you know, the last farewell dance and show that he's more attracted to Nicole. Mr. Cones, you know, decides to do some public slow dance with her. Mr. Castronovo interrupts that and, you know, tries to steal her away. So there's a lot of people interrupting. Mr. Holland interrupts. So there's just so much going on. And then we talk about, you know, we touched on this a bit already, Mr. King and Miss Remy's conversation about how her dad is Haitian, you know, how he's, you know, Dominican. And so for me, as, you know, someone who comes from a Caribbean background, was loving seeing this, Caribbean, you know, I guess, influence on the show representation. And of course, a lot of also there are, you know, a variety of Caribbean countries that were also, you know, colonized by the English, St. Lucia being one of them, where, you know, my mom is from and stuff like that. You know, so, you know, we had that conversation about, you know, Mr. King's mom and brother, and how that was an emotional experience. And then basically the, you know, the parents got to choose based off of their conversations and interactions who was going to get one-on-one time with Nicole. And they chose Mr. Hunter.
So Claude here is very interesting. Daddy, mm-hmm. Daddy Remy, because he's talking to a couple of fine fellows and he says to them with a steely gaze, you haven't asked me what she's interested in. You haven't asked mm-hmm. me what will pique her interest. You haven't asked me how to treat her. Mm-hmm. And these poor boys withering under the gaze are just incapable of taking a hint and asking him. So first of all, they didn't ask him. Then he points out that they haven't asked him and they just stare at him. Obviously it's edited, but I thought he's giving you the cue in the same way that she told Mr. Lux to be flirtatious. And all he says is, I want to show her that I'm attracted to her. No, just flirt with her. That's what she asked for.
Yeah, that was a very awkward conversation. So it was just like, y'all just don't have chemistry. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just exactly. I think that's the thing is like, I know part of the reason that they're on the show, they're just on the show to be on the show, but it's like, you know, I think if you want to get with the heroine, you know, you want to be able to know what she likes, what she doesn't like, how to essentially romance her. And if you have literally some people who know her really well, then might as well, if you're not talking to her, might as well talk to them and get that info. So, you know, that was definitely quite, you know, a lost opportunity for them, especially considering, I think, you know, some of them may have not necessarily passed this episode and might have went away on that carriage. And so, you know, so she goes on that date with Mr. Hunter, you know, Captain Kim and Mr. Kessler are disappointed. They thought that maybe based off of them spending time talking to the parents that they would have been chosen, but alas, we're not. And, you know, Derek specifically kept talking about how he's like, well, I jumped in the water for her. You know, like I thought that was going to be reward enough or talk to the parents. But the thing is like, he didn't talk to her. You know, that much. And I think that was kind of, I feel like his issue in this episode, you know, and as much as since I'm familiar with him, you know, wanted him to do well on the show. I think that was also kind of the thing where he really needed, in the limited time you have to talk to the heroine, you have to talk to her. So
yeah, I feel like,
or maybe listen to her. Sorry, yeah. Listen to her. If any people out there would like some tips, here it is. Talk less, listen more. Ask them questions about themselves.
Exactly. So the date, you know, the Mr. Hunter date happened. He, you know, he's a Southern gentleman, so he wants to show that etiquette and values that he has, you know, like pulling out the chair for her and a variety of other things. And, you know, they're sitting across, you know, from the table from each other, which also reminds me of, you know, good old Bridgerton, Daphne and Simon, although they broke that rule. You know, and then she brings him to the bedroom, which is very taboo.
Mentions that.
Yeah, she mentions it. She's like, oh, I know this is taboo, but...
But I'm a modern lady playing in Regency times. I'm going to make out with him. We're going to touch lips, and by that means we should be betrothed.
Yeah. So I guess in comparison to her date with Mr., you know, Kikyo, what'd you guys think with Mr. Hunter?
I felt like this one's a little better than it felt like they were at least talking to each other. I mean, I feel like she was getting it. I don't know. Maybe it was the same. Maybe because there was some movement here, it was more exciting than just sitting there out on the lawn.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. The exciting date, walking down corridors, and then right. Walking down another corridor.
What an odd date! Like today on today's date. we are going to walk around this place. We paid so much money for it that we have to do everything in this building. Right. We are not leaving.
We need everyone to see every square footage of this building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I think by this point, she's realized who is in the room. She's had a chance to smell them all and touch them all and at least have one thing to say to them. So I think she can't tell them apart at this point. And so she's going to kiss every single one of them and see if there's a spark. And I think, why not? As a selection process, why wouldn't she? Because I didn't like the previous date. I didn't see any impetus for the kiss except situational.
He's like, oh, there's fireworks. Okay, let me kiss her because there's fireworks.
Oh, we're in the bedroom and we're not supposed to be. So let's kiss. Nope.
And then all the guys talk about, oh, has she kissed this guy? Is he the first that's going to be kissed? But we know the reality of that, that, you know, there has been at least one before. And of course, she lets him know that she thinks he's really sexy. And, you know, he wants to know if it's the cravat or the jacket. And she's like, definitely the cravat. And her parents know best, she says. You know, she said they did a good job, you know, choosing that date. And then, of course, you know, the guys want to know what happened on the date. And he's like, well, a gentleman never tells. So that was a thing. And then this evening, there are 5 dances. So that's different. And then we also see a confessional of Mr. Shanklin singing that he hopes that he's not on a dance card.
I wanted him to be so bad.
Oh, yeah.
I was so disappointed when he wasn't.
I was like, the editing would be perfect if he's saying, he's saying, and then he's selected because the first guy that was called down, Mr. Cones, he's like, I'm not concerned at all. And then she picks him, but then when she dances with him, she's like, I just wanted to spend some more time with you. I'm like,
I mean, you're cute.
Yeah. I was like,
I think it's pretty clear that he's like in the running, so I don't know why he's here. She's like, I'm gonna scare you a bit, I guess. I don't know. This is fun. I don't know. I was just like, this is a waste. Just put someone who actually you would consider sending home here.
And out of 5, keep 2 and send 3 away. You know, we got to start getting through them.
Yeah.
Again, her confessional gown, which we don't see her wearing publicly at all, is really lovely, fits her beautifully and is very flattering. And she enters the ball in a very flattering color. The lilac is absolutely gorgeous on her. The fit of this gown is like, do they hate her? Do the costumers hate her? It's an awful silhouette. It doesn't suit her and it doesn't fit her. It's like, what are you doing with this glorious woman that you have? They never put her hair up in period style. That's fine. Whatever you like. None of her dresses are period. That's fine. Whatever you like. But could you, you know, we know you can because of the yellow gown and then this cream confessional gown. But the ones that she wore at both the balls were just off the rack. It was awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see that, you know, the men that basically are on this dance card, Mr. Mumbry. And so, you know, basically that's one situation. You know, she feels like they have a connection. And he thinks that he at least has the family on the side, like on his side, but at least needs to get her on his side. You know, we know about Mr. Cones and that sort of situation. Captain Kim is in trouble again. You know, she's unsure about him and feels like he didn't really talk to her this week. He spent a lot more time focusing on the family. Then he's like, I'm waiting for a chance and I'm not rushing this. You know, Mr. Kessler, Derek, you know, apologizes that, you know, he felt like maybe his focus wasn't on her, which we know is more on the family. And he also was on the boat by himself. So, you know, he wants to make sure to make time with her. You know, he's here for the real thing. And so, you know, Mr. Lux, too, that's, you know, also another, you know, situation as well. But, you know, what ends up happening is, you know, Derek or Mr. Kessler is sent home.
Which I found was odd that she didn't have him come up first, send him home, and then send the other guy. He was just like, oh, he saw him go up and say, wow, yeah, he's like, I guess I'm going home.
I guess that stamps it for me.
Yeah. I think, though, despite that, he was very respectful, very sweet. He handled it a lot better than the doctor did.
Not hard to handle it better than that.
I mean, true. But,
And we can't, he definitely fared better on Big Brother Canada 6. He got third.
Yes.
So.
Oh, okay.
That's something. Yeah.
I think so. So he even said, give me a hug. I hope you find love. And she mentioned, of course, like she thinks he's attractive, but her connections with others, is a lot deeper. So at the end of the day, it didn't work out for them. That was definitely an interesting situation. And, the episode ends, two guys went. 11 suitors remain.
More men leave. More men leave.
And it was even referenced, maybe Captain Kim, maybe you might want to think about, getting, away from the dance card.
Maybe put effort in just even like the just teeny, a little bit. Teeny bit. Maybe just participate in the show you're on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Show that you like her a little bit.
Yeah, show some interest. Not that you're just generally there for the experience, but specifically interest in her, and talk to her more. I mean, the parents like him, but now you just have to show, your interest in her. And yeah, and then upcoming the next episode, cricket. I'm going to play some cricket. And so it looks like others potentially are taking their eyes off the prize. Mr. Jaffa, perhaps looking at someone else, maybe, or is that a fake out?
If he stands no chance with her at this point, why not?
So it would be interesting to see and find out. And now we know the show will be on USA moving forward on Wednesday nights after Temptation Island. So I guess we've talked a bit about our criticisms, but I guess you have any additional thoughts on maybe why the show, what the show could have done more to have, survived its Sunday time slot? Or do you think maybe it should have been on a different time slot on NBC or day that would have helped perform better or maybe premiere at a later date?
I think it would have been great as a Peacock only show that you could just binge, release all the episodes. This isn't worth the week to week wait, especially just being such a new concept. They didn't know how it was going to do. I think they're seeing the effects of that, of just, it should have just been released the whole season at once. I mean, because why not? I just don't think that, especially only being 1 hour or less than an hour. So.
I don't know how to improve this because I think it's a flawed concept.
Yeah.
I think you're trying too hard to like latch on a current trend that I don't think will age well or be able to recreate this in any way.
Yeah, I mean, for me, do your concept, actually do it. Yeah. They have a very charming lead. Her family is, intriguing, and those men, I'm afraid, are currently all interchangeable. It's not really
no exciting man there.
Not an exciting man. No.
Yeah.
I would say let it just quietly get into a carriage and leave.
There may be people out there who love it, right? But I'm not in that camp, and I really wish that I was committed to the rest of the season, but I think that I would be just okay coming back for the finale just to see what happens, who she ends up with. Is there, where are they now?
It was too tough for me to find the show to like keep up with it on a weekly basis.
I mean, I commend you for finding it. It's definitely, when you're in the US you have a lot of the options, but when you're not in the US you don't have as many of the options to watch the show. So, yeah, but I do agree, with some of this sentiment. I think that the show. I think it's really great. Like, I thought it was a potential good idea, but I think that a show that could have gotten, you know, I think excitement and support from like Bridgerton viewers, for example, like it kind of unfortunately was not able to do that. And I think that is because of its lack of, you know, commitment to what the show is. You know, I think that inconsistency probably doesn't help the show. But I personally love, you know, I love the idea of the show. I do like Nicole as the lead. I do like her family. And, you know, I do hope that it works out for her. I'm not sure if it will or not. But, you know, I will still keep watching just because I'm intrigued to see where they're going to take this. But, you know, I think that definitely maybe it could have been, I think, a show that would have maybe translated better just for Peacock, kind of like Asia was saying. So does anyone have any final thoughts?
No, I'd be interested to see if people enjoyed it or what people's thoughts were. So if people can tweet at us, that would be awesome just to see the reception, because I haven't seen much reception on Twitter. So I just wonder if there are people out there that are watching that just didn't, you know, share opinions.
Yeah, I do. I have checked the hashtag from time to time, and I think I've seen mixed things. So I've seen some people who really, really love the show and seem very like excited about it, invested about it. Mostly because of maybe they were really happy about, you know, NBC choosing, you know, a Black woman lead, you know, that sort of thing. Or they just liked, or maybe they thought it was intriguing that, you know, Derek was on the show, interested in what would happen there, you know, that BB can connection, you know, and I think those sorts of things. But then I think other people, you know, weren't sure necessarily how they kind of felt about the show. So I think I've seen a variety of different responses. So some people love it. Some people find it corny, but cute. Some people find it intriguing, but I would definitely love to hear from, you know, people who listen, who are listening to this podcast. Tell me what your thoughts are. And, you know, yeah, feel free to share with all of us kind of what you're thinking. So, you know, I want to thank the three of you so much for coming here to talk with me about the courtship. You know, one reason also I wanted to do this podcast was because at the end of this week, season two of Bridgerton premieres, and, you know, Sarah and I, as well as Kristen McKinnis and Sasha Joseph, you know, we'll be talking as a Dark Walk on Post-Show Recaps about season two. And we're, you know, very excited about it. And if you guys are watching, you know, we'd love to have you on as guests. So just throwing that out there. But I would love to hear, you know, what y'all are up to. So Haley, what are you doing? What are you up to? Where can people find you?
Well, the Bachelor season is over, but that doesn't mean that you can't listen to us on demand. Find your latest podcast in the podcast app, et cetera, et cetera. Also doing Top Chef podcast, which is a lot of fun. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. And if you want to check out everything I'm reading, check out my Bookstagram at The Strong Library. Please do call me for the Bridgerton podcast at some point, because this is my favorite book and I've watched the trailer at least 45 times.
I love it.
So excited for this. Like, so excited.
I'm very excited too. I'm reading as much as I can in my free time the books, because
I've reread this book like twice in the last month. I'm not kidding.
I love it. Well, we will see you soon with the Dark Walk on PSR. And Asia, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. It's AYSHA like ASIA. If you want to hear me talk about people getting married to people they barely know, go subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed. You can find that anywhere where you get your podcast, or you can go to robhezawebsite.com/firstsightfeed. I talk about Married at First Sight with Jason Reed. We have a great time. You don't even have to watch the show to come listen to us. Just come listen to us, hang out, have a good time. Let us know what you think. And then I cover season two of Love is Blind with Mary Kwiatkowski. We had a great time doing that. And there is more Love is Blind coverage coming your way, and other coverage coming your way on the Love at First Sight feed. Yes.
I love the Love is Blind podcast. I was obsessed.
Thanks, Haley. We had a great time talking about it. And so, subscribe to the feed so you never miss a podcast. I also joined Taryn over on the Survivor Stock Watch to talk about episode 2 of Survivor. We had a great time rating the players. And then I'll also be hopping in on Big Brother Canada coverage. So if you're watching that season, you'll hear me on the updates or episode recap. So you can find me there.
Thank you so much. And last but not least, Sarah, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carradine. I'm doing Bridgerton, as we said. Also, for post show recaps, I'm covering Our Flag Means Death, the Taika Waititi, Rhys Darby joint with Brooklyn Zedd and Grace Leader. We had no idea it was so gay. It's very, very gay, very, very gay. So we have 2 more episodes dropping this week. That will be the end of the 10 episodes. I could weep, but it's been fantastic. Married at First Sight will see me dropping in next week. I've got a little bit of homework to do, but that's always a pleasure to visit that podcast, which I thoroughly recommend you listening to whether you watch the show or not. And then on RHAP, Murray Forth and I are launching our new podcast, true crime review podcast called Crime Scene. We did a collab with Nothing But Netflix on Bad Vegan, which will be dropping on Tuesday, plus our first episode for True Crime Tuesdays. So you can follow that on robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed, or you can follow the show on Twitter, Crime Scene, RHAP, that's Scene, S-E-E-N. And we really would like to hear, Murray, and I would really like to hear what you want to hear us talking about.
That's awesome.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that pod as well. So much content coming from you all. And last but not least, you can find me at Peace Love Jen, where I tweet all about the reality TV that I'm watching and random life events. So currently about Big Brother Canada, Australian Survivor, and anything that's on. I'm already forgetting because a lot of shows have just ended. So you'll find me tweeting about anything almost every day. And, you know, you can find me on post-show recaps talking about Bridgerton. And you can also find me on Silent Podcasts, where I do a variety of podcasting and also upload those podcasts that people listen to. Basically, you know, hope to, you know, hear from you all on your thoughts on the courtship. Feel free to tweet me or the other three about your thoughts, your opinions. We thank you so much for listening and for supporting, and hope you have a lovely week. Bye, everyone.